Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Well, you know what, boys? It's the new year. And, you know, you should be back into the swing of things with your health and fitness routine. Hopefully that means you're using world-class nutritional supplements from Legacy Sports Nutrition. Whether it's bestsellers like TestX9 Testosterone Booster, Recovery PM Sleep Optimizer, and the delicious salted caramel whey protein, you can be sure you're using elite-level products. Now, this show, K100, is the most used discount code ever at LegacySubs.com, and we can't thank you enough for the loyalty to both Legacy and this show. Using that code supports our show and Legacy, which, as you know, is brought to you by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James. Legacy wants to reward you, our K100 family. So every customer that uses code K100, that's K100, at LegacySubs.com to the end of February, will receive a free water-resistant Bluetooth speaker while stocks last. That's awesome. So level up your performance, well-being, and mind with LegacySubs.com, and don't forget to use the code K100 at checkout, and we're giving you a Bluetooth speaker for being a loyal members of LegacySubs.com.
Free speaker, huh?
Ooh. What do you use, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely use the Recovery PM every night. I sleep way deeper. You wind up having these vivid type dreams. You're out like a light and you wake up and there's no fogginess, or like if you use like some other sleep aid, sometimes you wake up foggy, but not with Recovery PM.
I've been using desiccated liver pills.
Cool.
They've been great. I feel great.
They're the reason we've been with them for 2 years.
Maybe three even at this point.
3 years. The fact that we have the most what?
With the most buys with our referral code, we beat everybody else, yeah.
All right. So this works. They have a whole array of supplements. Go check it out. You know, get your supplements at Legacy Subs. Boom.
Cody contributes less than anybody on the show, I would say. Would you agree with that, Joe?
The only reason that you contribute more is because you talk more than this guy and me.
I have to talk
more. And sometimes you talk more than the guests we bring on the show.
Conan's like the show runner. This show is shaped in his vision. So
that's, first of all, all the people that say that I talk too much, they're suspicious.
Everyone.
All right, my favorite podcast is the rest of the evening. Conan, what are your thoughts on Elijah or the old Elias possibly the threat in another promotion such as AEW, TNA, but possibly even there in AAA? He seems to be able to get heat with a lot of fans, but could also be very likable. I know Pat McAfee said Elias always said he wanted to be a wrestler even in high school, which they both attended, so he's a mind for the business. Disco, other than yourself, what do you think is the best dancing gimmick of all time? Lastly, for all three of you, where would you rank these all-time great underrated NBA players since they played when you guys were watching? And here's the sixth thing. Vin Baker, Tom Chambers, Terry Cummings, Marcus Johnson, Antoine Jameson, and Glenn Robinson. Well, Glenn Robinson, to be sure.
Yeah, Tom Chambers was a star in the early 80s.
Yeah, he was just a ball hog, though. He's on a shitty team in Seattle.
Jazz, do you mean the Jazz or the Suns?
You've done a lot of good teams.
And you could interchange Terry Cummings, Marcus Shaws, and Antoine Jameson all had similar games. They didn't really score a lot of points. Okay. I would say Glenn Robinson, Tom Chambers, Vin Baker, the others.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Before I answer the NBA one, which I'm going to put my little twist on it, I would say that the best dancing gimmick besides Disco was two people. Vince McMahon, when he did that WWE video with all the,
stand
all
back.
The wrestlers where they broke kayfabe.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And honorable mention to Blue Meanie. This is what I would say, my most underrated guys, okay?
That's not the question.
I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I want to
agree with
too.
I agree with you. So I'm going to name you a couple guys. Chris Mullins, who I loved when he was in St. John's, okay? And he wore number 17, which was Hondo Havlicek's number for the Celtics. I would put Hondo Havlicek on that team too. I don't think...
What did they call Mullen, Hardaway, and Mitch Richmond?
TMC, because of the initial Richard Mitch, Chris Mullins, and Hardaway, Tim Hardaway. And that was named, believe it or not, after Run DMC. And you know what? I'd put Richmond and Hardaway on that fucking list.
Richmond was, he's the only guy Jordan says that he would kind of, you know, be intimidated by if Jordan knows how to be intimidated. He was always like working against Richmond was like, that was cool for him because he knew he was going to get a game, you know?
And I'm going to throw in one more name, Adrian Dantley, who played at the high school powerhouse, the Moth out of Maryland. And he played for Notre Dame when he beat John Wooden's team, led by one of my favorite players of all time. Too bad when he played with the Celtics, he was hurt, but he still won sixth man of the year. Bill Walton and Jamal Wilkes, they broke an 88-game winning streak.
All right, nobody.
I got three. All right. Vernon Maxwell, Eric Snow, who was the point guard when the Sixers went to the championship against the Lakers.
Yeah, I would not put one of the most players.
Just great defensive player, and as a point guard.
A lot of guys. You could put the glove, Payton, in that list.
Well, yeah, Payton, way ahead of Snow. And then you got Theo Ratliff. Do you guys remember Theo Ratliff?
Yeah, he also played for 76ers.
Yeah.
I'm going to kazoo that because you picked two guys that played for 76ers.
Oh, well, then I would say Steve Kerr on the Bulls.
All right, the next one's from Jason. Oh, by the way, will you comment on Elijah? Otherwise, whatever.
Yeah, bro, no, I'm just not hating, just stating. I'm afraid that if you went to AEW, so many other guys have gone there that they haven't known what to do. He'd probably get lost in the shuffle, you know, and he'd be part of somebody's, like, faction. I think in TNA, you have a lot more creativity, input. You know what I'm saying?
It's been a while since he was released. Do you guys have any idea why? Have you heard anything?
I just thought of a great idea. I didn't know where to tie it, but I just thought this. What if there was a faction, and the name of the faction was Faction, and it was literally just like six people they were doing absolutely nothing with.
Right.
And you just threw them all together.
Right. Well, they had that with the B team.
Listen, but here's the gimmick, okay? They're constantly, all their vignettes are shot. They're in a traveling van, right? The six and like two. And all their conversations are, they're trying to figure out like where they want it. Like one show is, where are we going to go eat? And they drive around. And like, bro, the show is going on throughout the show. You keep going back to vignette. They can't decide where to eat. And then they have to, like, by the end of the show, they have to stop and get gas. And that's they have nothing in common with each other. Like, all the vignettes are like, why are we, like, they're sitting there, just nobody's talking to each other. And it's like dead silence for like 2 minutes while they're sitting there. It's like, what do you think about that for a gimmick? And it's called, the name of the faction is called Faction.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. But did they do that with three people? When it was like Jinder Mahal, the
three-man
band. Three-man band, yeah. Drew McIntyre. Wasn't he a part?
And then, And then the B team, and then NWO Black and White, when Stevie Ray and Vincent and Norton were in there, and Horace, they were like thrown together because they were the leftovers from the NWO, and they had funny vignettes like that.
I like Drew McIntyre's character now in Raw. He's making it very vocal that he prays for bad things to happen to people.
That was great. He's been great.
I like when Barrett did that.
That's funny stuff, yeah.
Remember when he was Bad News Barrett, D.I.? You had to look.
I'm afraid I've got some bad. I thought that gimmick was hysterical. Yeah. Me and Madden used to call up each other and say, I'm afraid I've got some bad. Next is from Jason Turpin. Some of his Ronnie Coleman. Hey, guys. Brock Lesnar's been taking hits in the media recently by the allegations of Vince lawsuit. However, his ego may have taken bigger hit by recent comments from bodybuilder Ronnie Coleman. The 8-time Mr. Olympia winner was on a podcast and the host of several wrestlers asked Ronnie if they were enhanced physique. Coleman said, Cena and The Rock definitely were put over their bodies. When asked about Brock Lesnar, Coleman said he had to be natty. Ronnie said Brock had lack of muscle definition all over his body, and Brock's physique looks impressive to me, but I've never penned Diana Ball a deck in my ass like all the boys from your era. What do you guys think about Brock's physique and Coleman's comments? Thanks, that's from Jason Turpin. Let's red card Jason Turpin for accusing everybody of doing steroids without evidence. Okay,
that's a serious allegation.
Yeah, red card him.
I got him.
Brock.
Well, I have no problem saying Cena and Rock definitely have either. I actually saw Ronnie Coleman because I used to be a big fan of bodybuilding back in the day. And I actually saw him. We were at Atlanta, Georgia. We were at a buffet and Lex Luger was there and they stood next to each other. And if you wouldn't have known them, you would have thought Luger was more muscular because he was taller. He was really wide. But if Coleman would have ripped off his shirt, he would have destroyed him. But I actually met Ronnie in person. He was very, very impressive. Brock is kind of weird because I remember seeing him in college he wasn't that, you know, he was still kind of big, but he kind of looked like Sammy Sosa. He kind of looked like Sammy Sosa before the steroids and after.
Well, yeah, but he's got that farm strength. You know,
yeah, one thing is farm strength. One thing is, dude, I mean, look at pictures of him in his last year.
Well, here's the thing. When you grow up on the farm, right, you're doing chores that require you lifting heavier things than the normal person.
Bales of hay.
At a very young age.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
it couldn't happen.
Brock failed a test in UFC and he got arrested back in the day for having stuff. So I don't think he was all the way clean forever, you know?
Well, they're not.
Yeah, he just gained too much mass. I know he's a farm boy and all that, but just, you know, he had like a wrestler's look, not a farm boy look.
All right. Next up, Kevin Donalds of his Waller Summit. Grayson Waller recently did a press interview burying the Cody versus Roman 2 match taking the place of Rock versus Roman. He basically said, with most people, the fans wanted Rock versus Roman for so long that when it finally happened, they got so triggered over to the point they threatened to kill The Rock's daughter, who goes by Ava Raid in NXT. He said they're more or less just like letting badly behaved children get their own way. Only these are grown adults being such losers. I know I've covered this topic a million times. If you think that WWE doing what the fans want in any issue is a mistake in the long run. I mean, AEW did that for years, and now they're doing it so badly they have to pay people like Conrad Thompson to endlessly show for them on his podcast. I will red card Kevin
Donald. You're on fire today.
Well, he's accusing Conrad Thompson of being a paid shill for AEW. That's not.
Yeah, I think Conrad,
he does not do that. So you have to prove that, Kevin Donald. You either have to retract your comment in the next email
or show proof. The other thing is, he's a big fan, no different than a Harry Ruiz of AEW.
All right.
Here's Grayson's comments on this. With an interview with Kenny McIntosh from Inside the Ropes. I've never in my life seen so many people who Kenny McIntosh from Inside the Ropes. He's a big guy in England. He brings the guys over for the Q&As and stuff.
Well, that's not okay. It's a joke.
You don't know that.
I haven't used the word big. Okay,
in this
representing
world,
guy that runs the fan conventions at the rest of the show.
All right. So Grayson says, I have never in my life seen so many people who can barely read and write caring about a story. It absolutely boggles my mind. A few months ago, everyone was saying, oh, Rock, come back. How long have they wanted The Rock versus Roman? People have been begging for it for years. Then they get it, and now they're complaining about it. It just shows in a way how stupid these fans are. They want this, but then they say, oh, we don't want it. Now, we want it here. It's like, just shut up.
I like it.
Yeah, and I wonder if he gets any heat for that, but he's 100% correct, and I stated as such 2 weeks ago. I would not have blinked. I would have had Rock and Roman. Cody's been a monster. He's developed a huge following. He can get it later.
So guess what, boys?
Yo.
Public service announcement here. K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed. Get Blitz was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney, the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. You know, a lot of our listeners here like the THC, and this is a real deal THC. Not the garbage they sell in the gas stations. The stuff in the gas stations is garbage.
Yeah.
So it is super potent, like THC on steroids. It's a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. It's perfect for the weekend, for relaxing, for a party. And there's no hangover. You know what it's perfect for? Halftime of the football game. So you can take the teaspoon by itself, mix with water, soda, juice, and energy drink, whatever you want. The mix with the energy drink is fantastic, by the way. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. Go to getblitz.com and use the code K100 to get 15% off. That's GET-blitzed, BLITZED.com. I've been using this product. Great for watching football, gotta admit. Great for watching hockey. Great for watching TV, great for watching the soccer games in the morning, great for after the gym if you want to wind down. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low-quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitz now at GET-BLITZED.com and use our code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That ain't cheap. Order, enjoy, let us know on Twitter or K100Questions@gmail.com about your experience. That's 50% off with the code K100 at GetBlitz.com. Great product. I love the t-shirts too.
Yeah, I love the t-shirt too, the Kool-Aid guy.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, it's funny because, you know, when he first wanted us to bring Get Blitz to board, you know, he sent us all a sample. And I got cherry. And actually, I used it. I used the whole bottle, you know, just video games or even, you know, watching a movie like Disco said. And now I'm a paid customer. That's how much, you know, I enjoyed the experience. So, yeah, it's real chill. like Disco said, halftime of a football game, or if you're just chilling watching a movie with your girl or with friends or whatever, it's a good time, and there is no hangover, just like we mentioned in the copy. You know, you're not going to feel like you drank the night before, or you're not going to feel woozy because you smoked too much or something. You wake up fresh as a daisy.
Well, this is what I like about it. Everything from listening to music, watching TV, football games, sports, movies, everything. It enhances everything that I'm doing. And my 10 favorite flavors are piña colada and grape. So let's get high without, you know, feeling shaky, without getting that garbage that you get at the stores or at the gas stations. This is a real deal. We all use it. We all love it. And as we said before, we're not going to endorse anything that doesn't work. So get Blitz at getblitz.com. Boom.
Next from Donald Willings. Comes to his Gallows and Anderson. One of the cooler moments of the close lockdown era was when AJ Styles was feuded with Judgment Day and Gallows and Anderson made the big return to WWE to back AJ up. And they even worked a great six-man tag match to the Saudi show. Sadly, AJ Styles broke his ankle leg really badly. Missed like 5 to 6 months, and during the entire time, Gallows and Anderson weren't used. Then, since AJ Styles had come back, he's in the weird angle where he keeps arguing with them backstage. He even slapped Anderson on the way to SmackDown, and it really feels like a lot of waste of time of two great, really great talents. What do you guys think is going on here with this booking? Kind of feels a little AEW-ish booking that they were resized so they could be a surprise for Raw, and that was the end of the thought process. I mean, I don't know.
I
just feel like they've never really trusted or invested in them like they should. And he says here something like, yeah, what did they bring him back for, to bury him again? Maybe AJ said, hey, can you bring my boys back? And he's got enough juice to do that. And maybe him getting slapped might have AJ team up with somebody else against them.
Yeah, and plus, you know what, too? I wasn't a fan of this, but I saw enough of clips back then. When they were in the Bullet Club was like a very like brash, like stone coldish type of faction. Like they would come in the media scrums. Japan is the first people to do, like they do the shoot media scrums.
Right? Right.
But they would come in the scrums and they'd be like drinking beer and shit.
Right.
Cursing.
You know, yeah. Right. So that's kind of like, so like their whole gimmick or like their whole personality is kind of neutered in WWE. They're not like a bunch of beer drinking guys that like to fight. They're just like, we all wrestle together. That's it.
Yeah. Well, they were kind of an offshoot of the NWA Japan style, because they would even do the Too Sweet.
Yeah.
And I remember like once they had Jeff Jarrett, they're like an honorary fucking, Bullet Club in LA. And then they had another one where I remember they would have like a hot chick, which you really didn't see Japanese guys doing that. And then one time I remember Gallows came with his wife as a valet, Amber O'Neill, so they're always doing like stuff that the other guys weren't doing, which made them cool.
They could literally keep that faction together. And the dynamic of them, of AJ being a straight edge guy, and those two guys drinking one of the
right, being the partiers,
guys,
right,
like would be a pretty fun dynamic to work with.
Right.
And they never went there in any of that character though.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't know. Like I think those guys are far more talented than the WWE brass.
Or AEW. Remember, they popped up in AEW when they were in TNA. You know, right. They were hot as
shit.
They
haven't been able to do it, get them over.
Right.
Let them do that. It's entertaining. They look like a couple beer-drinking redneck guys that like to fight.
Right,
I know Stone Cold did that, but that was 25 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just like, they can still have two characters that like to do that too, so.
Yeah.
All right, next from John Kamathan, the Subject Otis. Silly project me and my buddies have been doing on YouTube recently is rewatching the lockdown era of wrestling. I won't plug it. That will just start others doing the same with their emails. And we're noticed that later in 2019, they carried into lockdown the two biggest baby chases in the company were Drew McIntyre, who became WWE champion, and Otis. He had that heavy machinery and had that great angle with Mandy Rose and Dolph Ziggler. He was chosen to win that crazy Money in the Bank in the WWE offices, which would make a killer video game option, get to work 2K. And then his tag partner turned heel on him. So clearly this is all part of his big solo push and then nothing. He basically vanished, so he came back to drop the Money in the Bank to Miz and then changed character to heel with Chad Gable, now American Household. K100, do you have any idea at all what went on with this? Seemed weird to have a guy do all the work that people were reacting to online and then just drop it as fans can start attending shows again. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Otis was like, I thought that Otis was a comedy character. And then they decided, well, he needs to be more serious and that now he's stuck in
doing what they're doing with them now.
Yeah, well, he was looking good when he was the heel. Bro, he had that lame angle where, like, this hot girl, I don't know who was, like, in love with him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you may say that this is a great video game, which it is, you know, finish throwing Rey Mysterio off the roof, but I thought that was stupid. Just like what I thought it was stupid when they did the Rey Mysterio versus Seth Rollins, eye for an eye.
Eye for an eye.
Rollins still has his eye.
Thanks to Daniel French, subbed his riddle goals. I'd really love to hear Conan's opinion on this. A few days ago, Matt Riddle, in an interview, promoted his upcoming appearances in it, and in it, he said that TNA seems like an interesting place to be right now. I'm having talks with them. And really, as a fan, TNA hasn't had much positive buzz in a long time. I'm enjoying it. Here's my question, though, Conan. Why do you think he hasn't spoken with AEW yet? Do you think that maybe there's a chance he doesn't want to go there? Or do you think maybe Tony Khan doesn't want to work with him due to the controversy? I really love Tony's take on this. Go ahead, Conan.
Well, I would assume Tony, who's picked up just about every talent out there, I would assume he talked to him because he's charismatic, he's good on the mic, and he's a great wrestler. Like, what else do you need, right?
Right.
And he's got that UFC pedigree, you know? So you would think he'd talk to him. This is what I think. I think a lot of wrestlers talk to each other. They're like, yo, what's up in AEW? You know, blah, blah, blah. Then he's talking to people in TNA, and they're, you know, telling him what's going on there, and he probably wants the creative freedom that TNA affords him. Yeah.
Hey, guys, heels and faces. You look at WWE and AEW. WWE faces Seth. Heels and faces. You look at WWE and AEW. WWE faces are Seth, Cody, Sami, KO, Jey Uso, LA Knight, etc. The heels are Roman Rock, Jimmy Solo, Drew, Gunther, etc. I say they're quite obvious. Now, AEW, can you tell me which is which, please? Samoa Joe, Adam Page, Swerve, Blackpool Combat Club, the Mexicans who have appeared, and the Mexicans who have appeared. I'm quite certain you'll agree that good and bad guys matter to tell an interesting story, and I kind of kill the question with it. But not knowing who you're meant to support kind of kills the product in AEW. Lastly, AEW proudly promoted over 15,000 for Revolution, but they sold out Sting's last match. Without that and their once-a-year England trip, how long before they hit 10K again? Thank you, Liam. Like I said, AEW does not have a lot of definitive super over baby faces or super over heels. And WWE's got a handful of them. Like, who's the most over baby face in AEW right now?
Cassidy or Darby?
You actually have to think about it. Who's the most over baby face in WWE right now?
Cody.
you know the answer, right? So, like, yeah, they got problems.
Cody, they got a lot of guys that, you know, right. Seth and, you know what I'm saying, and Jay.
A lot of very well-defined heels and baby faces.
Right. Right.
Well, one of your well-defined baby faces is turning heel with good storytelling because he's a principled heel.
Right.
Drew McIntyre.
Right.
You know, so it's like, yeah, they got some good stuff going on there. And like, but AEW just like, yeah, I the whole Adam Page Swerve state. Swerve and Joe are supposed to be the heels, are supposed to be, okay? And they let them go out there on their own on the mic, and the crowd just kind of reacted, and they're just going out and just going on the mic, and it depends on how the crowd's going to react. And Adam Page now is supposed to be the baby face, but he's the heel. And the other two are like...
I thought he was the heel.
Well, that's the same, but like, you know, but the concept was, if you were booking this from a, you know, before you were watching shows, like Joe and Swerve are the heels, And Adam Page is babyface, and the exact opposite plays out on television. You know, Joe gets cheered, Joe, you know, whose house, where's, so they dance and swerve, and Page comes out, they kind of boo him, you know? I don't know. Kind of weird. It's a weird dynamic.
Joe's definitely a heel, even though they chant his name, but hey, sometimes they chant Roman Reigns' name. It's hard when a heel is cool to boo him all the time, but they both get boos. Adam Page, I don't know what the fuck's going on with him. The Blackpool Combat Club, they're supposed to be heels, right? And the Mexicans, they're supposed to be the baby faces, but they don't act like it. We're talking about the Mexicans from CMLL, by the way.
Yeah. MikeDurbin.com. You can get the WCW-esque Conan in that K-Dog Wolfpack style. Man, this Conan might be Bendy of the year right now.
I really told you. Yo. Let me speak on this. Mike Durbin Productions exclusive.
Conan, I was the most impressed with Conan, man. It's like undercover Bendy of the Year. It's a really nice figure. The do-rag is freaking awesome in person. I love the exclusive with the WCW packaging. I love this one with the camo. It's really nice.
And I will say, a figurine expert who went to TJ on Friday, Matt Cardona, put it over as being a good figurine as far as figurines go.
Yo, hold on, let me speak on this. Exclusive Mike Durbin Productions, K-Dog. Look at that. Listen to K-Dog, keeping it 100. Logo on the back, MikeDurbin.com. Get it right now. Low-key might be Bendy of the Year. Go get it.
Next is Roger Azate. Subject is better match quality. Hey, K100 crew, I just finished listening to your interview with Conrad. You guys spoke about which match would be better, Rock versus Roman or Roman versus Cody. The general consensus is that Rock versus Cody would be better, better match because of logical reasons. Cody's active, etc. To quote Reacher, assumptions kill. Look at what Rock versus Hogan did in Mania 17. I know for a fact no one thought that would be a great match, but then we saw what happened. But here's a question so I don't get suspended. Who books the matches in AEW? The talent? Gamers? LOL? I don't know what quality means that company. Nothing makes sense and no one knows how to sell. That 30-minute draw that Paige and Swerve had is a great example of what I'm talking about. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. I would think Rock versus Roman is a match I would rather see, to see what they do, you know?
Yeah.
We'll see what the crowd reacts. But and it wouldn't be bad. You know what I watched? Somebody posted this on Twitter. And they posted the whole Hogan versus Andre match, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like a 10-minute match, right? Mm-hmm. And I watched it. And, you know, what did Dave give that, right? Negative 2 stars or something.
Oh, yeah,
right?
It did. It was, yeah.
Bro, I watched, go and watch that match. And I thought it was a 3-star match. Because of, like, if you're watching it as a mark, if you're watching the work, the
-4.
-4. That's mm-hmm. definitely excessively better than a -4 match. I would.
Which match?
Hogan versus
WrestleMania 3.
Yep.
Like, we only see like the last couple like seconds of that match, like last 30 seconds, but they were actually doing a lot of physical. Hogan was like the details and the simplicity was played out perfectly.
Right.
Like Hogan's selling was excellent.
Yep.
Selling for a big giant guy and everything and all that. And bro, when watching, like, the skills of professional wrestling were definitely on display in that match.
That not only that, does crowd reaction not count? Because they were fucking 100% on fire.
Yes, the whole thing. Like, if I'm watching, like, how can anybody, like, if you're a wrestling fan, there's no way you can watch that and the aura of the crowd and watching the and think that this is like one of the worst matches ever. Like, you got to be really critical, to look at it from that eye lens, because that was actually a pretty good match. I would implore people to go watch it. It's only 2 minutes. You have to watch a 40-minute. They would 900 near falls. It's a pretty basic story they told, and they told it very, very, very well. You know, I thought it was really good, to be honest.
When you look at Hogan's main events, he main evented 1 through 8. His matches all delivered in that way. Maybe not Sid, but Hogan and Andre, yeah, man.
Hogan was like kind of a decrepit, old, bitter, old, giant 500-pound guy. How he was portrayed. Andre, yes.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, you know, when they're standing next to each other, the crowd's like rumbling. You're seeing like Hogan looks like he could probably take this guy, but the other guy's definitely considerably bigger than him. You know, and like that.
And remember, they had limitations too, Disco, because Andre had just had or was going to have back surgery. He had a big brace on under his tights.
He couldn't walk that well.
He couldn't walk that well.
Yeah. But it was very good. You know.
Yep.
All right. Next is from Jonathan S. And the subject is GoFundMe Alyssa Milano. Salutations, K100 crew. Let's break up the monotony of all the Cody Rock Reigns questions and get to a story that should have gotten more media attention. Alyssa La Dodger Cum Dumpster. Oh, LA Dodger Cum Dumpster.
Whoa.
The yellow card for vulgarness. Milano recently set up a GoFundMe raising money for his son's plans to play baseball in Cooperstown this summer. As you can well imagine, this was received as favorable as a Mike Durbin NWA review. To make matters worse, she posted a picture of the son attending the Super Bowl. Talk about being tone deaf. What are you guys' opinions on this twat asking for public money to send her kids to a baseball tourney? That's from Jonathan S. Bro, it's just absurd.
Yes, it was.
It's absolutely absurd. Like, this, so many of these, like, these stars are, like, the tone deaf is the perfect word. They're completely oblivious to, like, what's going on. Like, she could obviously afford to sponsor her kids' team. Like, obviously. She has tons of money, you know.
Bro, I saw this. This was a few weeks ago. And so this was a few weeks ago. And first of all, you don't know her being Alyssa Milano if people gave her and her son tickets. That's number one. Number two, she has way more enough money to send them to Cooperstown. Okay? Really bad look. I think what you should do, Joe, is you should send a T-shirt of Dexter to Alyssa Milano or her fan club, and then write like a self-addressed envelope so I can write you back and put, let me know if you want more. And see what she says.
And I think the
what she says on there.
You were about to ask what her net worth was, Disco, I believe. $10 million.
Okay, no. Here's what I want to know. Mm-hmm. Look this up. How much, on average, does it cost to sponsor a Little League baseball team in California, in Los Angeles County?
Okay.
It's pretty specific. So just like in LA County, how much to sponsor a Little League baseball team? Right? See if you can get an answer from that. And mind you, this girl's worth $10
million. Plus, I think her husband has money too.
Well, the
like $10 million might not cover. Like this was a really good bet. All the kids want to wear like the Balenciaga cleats.
Travel baseball team's overall fees. Okay, this includes, you know, uniforms, league fee, bats, $500 to $2,500.
Right.
Okay. And that's, you know, what did she want to do? Send the whole team to Cooperstown so you got 15 flights? I don't know. But yes, she could afford it.
Just her son.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the team.
Oh, that was the whole team?
Right. Next is, this is an interesting one. It's from Daniel Hennigan. Danielle Hennigan.
Right.
The subject is disappointing Disco. Let's put it young. Just give her a yellow card right off the bat here. See, she gets rented. Hey, crew. But listen, he says, COVID. My husband and I enjoyed the archives when we were doing house stuff or taking a ride. He's a longtime fan and converted me as a fan when we met in the early 2000s. My favorite stuff to watch is late 90s WCW and ECW. But onto my issue. Poor Joe. Disco, you lambasted Joe last week for the unpardonable sin of finally talking back to Billy Body, who had taken a dig at his wife. By the way, Joe, I follow you on Insta and she's a beautiful girl.
Oh,
Disco.
Thank you.
Disco, you disappoint me. Didn't your dad ever teach you there are certain insults you don't allow? Or were you the guy who just allowed dickheads to talk shit about your mother, not in the fun way, in the real way? Billy deserved every bit of that, so kudos to you, Joe, for being a solid dude and standing up to your lady. Everything you said, despite Disco's total Billy cuckdom, was well-deserved by that pimple. Oh, a question. Conan, is Disco's thick skin and inability to feel insulted by anything ever a negative? And Joe, what kind of shot do you want to do? We're coming to Philly for five full days for WrestleMania. Thanks, guys. That's Danielle. Well, first of all, Danielle, he sounds like a swinger that's trying to pick up Joe.
And his wife.
Yeah, it does. First of all, there's two sentences in here. I follow you on Insta. She's a beautiful girl. So right off the bat, Joe, she's giving you like, hey, hit me up in your DMs on Instagram. Okay. Conan, am I right?
Sounds like it.
And then she says, you know, Joe, I want to know what type of shot you want to do. We're coming to Philly for, and she says, 5 full days, Joe.
Oh.
She's going to try to slip me a Mickey.
Here's my point, Danielle. My whole point with this chastising Joe for that, it's a battle he doesn't need because nobody follows the guy. Like, there's no reach. There's no, like, he doesn't get any, Billy doesn't have any followers on his social media or something.
Yeah, I think, I'm not trying to defend Disco because I like when people burying him, much like in this letter.
Right.
I think his point was, all right, clap back, but he went overboard.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's stupid. It was ridiculous.
My motivation, though, D.I., was to say whatever I thought I could say that would actually put him in a position where now he has to fight me.
Let's be honest.
Oh, come
or apologize.
On, dude. Stop.
You sound ridiculous, right? Okay, but the bottom line is like the Get My Go show and Billy show and everything, that's like not a lot of people listen to that. Like by shedding light on it, you know, it's like it's stupid.
I'm doing no further body episode.
Like nobody that insults me like hits home. It's like I don't like people insult
me. What was the question she asked me about insulted or something?
Yeah, do you ever see Disco's thick skin or the fact that he never takes offense to anything as a negative? Have you ever seen it be a negative for him?
I think it's a positive.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Jameson.
And I want a red card, Danielle. Too.
Who's Jameson?
Jameson's the shot I would do.
Yeah, she's getting a suspension for the mailbag for 1 week. All right. Next is
you know what? Save that money and come to my autograph signing, Danielle and your husband. I will be in Philly. Boom.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Are you going to be? You know, there's a Wally Mania this year. The Electric Factory coming in.
Joe, send Danielle nude pictures of you and your wife and see what happens.
I think they'll reciprocate, but I don't know what they look like. So,
yeah, that's just some Ivory Mendoza. The subject is CMLL stupid. Best podcast there is. Love what you guys do. A few months ago, I asked you guys about Billy Jack Haynes and conspiracy supposedly involving Bill Clinton and Billy Jack supposedly being a hitman. With recent news, the sad passing of his wife, is there more validity to that? Also, Conan, is it true CMLL is not allowing any other Mexican wrestlers on AEW with their terrible-looking jobber wrestlers, with the exception of the guy with the H on him? Hacho, what the hell? Oh, he calls him...
Which is like a warlock. Oh, that's how you see him doing all that weird shit.
But this guy mispronounces his name and spells it.
Yes.
Hochi whatever the hell ever, he calls him.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's a great...
It's AEW doesn't promote these guys anyway. And true, what can real stars like Penta Phoenix be thinking about this? Does this include anyone of Hispanic origin? Because where the hell has Santana Ortiz been in their single run? Thanks, guys. Joe, you're okay, too. The irony of Mendoza. I don't know, but like I said, my take on the Billy Jack Haynes stuff is I thought the guy was an imposter. I cannot look at that Billy Jack Haynes and just today and match him to the old Billy Jack Haynes.
He looked more like Kevin Sullivan, did he?
But I did. Next is from George Kittle from the San Francisco 49ers. Subject is Living in America, Brett the Mexican Heart. How's it going, guys? Writing from Nashville, catching up with some of the episodes I missed. What do we have to do to get Conan or sing Living in America from Rocky again? That was a great moment in the history of the show. Disco, what were your memories of working for JCW? I recently saw a clip of you working for them with all the people, KG, with of all people, KG. Were you a juggalo, Conan?
That's great.
I recently saw a clip of you working for them.
Where's your pen? You with a guy going like this?
Yeah. Were you a juggalo, right?
Yeah.
Conan, what's the deal with the CMLL long-haired unmasked guy in AEW? He looks like Stu Hart's illegitimate Mexican love child. Is he over in Mexico? What are the odds we can see Elijah in AAA? I think he get legit heat in Mexico and dude is yoked. Thanks again, boys. Love the show. Love always, George Kittle from Tennessee, Nashville. It's kind of interesting. We've had two emails echoing the exact same thing that Elijah could get over in Mexico. Elias, right? And boy, it doesn't make it to be good. Because bro, if he got up there and sang a song, you'd teach him Mexican words to song, and he'd sang a song very Mexican. Oh, they're huge, right? Yeah. they throw shit at him, right?
Yeah. Right. Like he used to do in WWE, which got over when he was a heel.
Right.
Yeah.
What would be even funnier
would be when we finally turn him face, he plays babyface music and songs, you know? Right. That would be great.
Yeah. What's the who's the long-haired guy that looks like Stu Hart?
That's Volador Jr. That he looks like his face... Like he took too much niacin or something. It's all red. He is over in Mexico, in Arena Mexico. That's basically I can say.
They say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist. Hear that, plants? So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.